This is Pushing the Odds on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts and Rocket Mortgage.
Live from Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
All right, let's head to the Progressive Guest Line. Let's talk some NFL football, NFL free agency, longtime NFL reporter and host of the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle. John Clayton joins us here on Pushing the Odds. John, Matt Perrault, how are you?
Good, Matt. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for the time. How many times a day are you asked about Russell Wilson's future in Seattle?
Way too many. It's like seven to ten times a day.
And what is your answer to that question?
He was never going to be traded. And it's one of the most overdone stories I think I've ever been involved with, seen, or anything else. Because, you know, you accept the reality that Seattle has gone from, they're trying to get back to the Super Bowl. They've gone from a 9-win team to a 10-win team to an 11-win team to a 12-game winning team last year that won the division. Okay, so now if you trade Russell Wilson, one, you don't have a quarterback. Two, you take a $39 million cap hit, and no team since 2013 has made the playoffs, having more than 20.4% of their cap in dead money. That's another problem. And, of course, his cap number right now is $32 million. And if you take the $39 dead money, now you have to dig $7 million more into your cap to be able to let more players go. So you go into a 2 to 3 year rebuilding mode. That wasn't going to be the plan. He was never going to be traded. He has been, given the license right now not to be involved in any kind of thing as far as, getting offensive players or all that, the decision making and all that. But they pulled him in. They got him an offensive coordinator in Shane Waldrop that he likes. They were able to fix the offensive line, re-signing Ethan Posick, getting him Gabe Jackson in the trade, then also getting him a tight end in Gerald Everett, and then re-signing Chris Carson, and then getting Nick Ballore back as a tight end slash fullback. And so it's like, he was upset about a bunch of things at the end of the season and disappointed with the end of the season, but I think he's pretty happy right now the way things are going.
The appearance on the Dan Patrick Show and then some of the rumors, some of the stories, things being reported in The Athletic about the end of the late regular season meeting in Arizona where Russell Wilson stormed out allegedly from a team meeting that he had about wanting to be more involved. Does Russell, he wanted the conversation, did he not? He wanted this out there, at least from a PR standpoint, that he was somewhat unhappy. Is that fair?
Well, I can't say that Russell did, but I know his agent did. And I understand his agent is Mark Rogers, a baseball agent who's never had any other player and doesn't have any other player in the National Football League. And Mark doesn't understand a single thing about the National Football League. For example, he came out with the idea that if Russell would ask to be traded, and he indicated that Russell has not asked, he would go to one of four teams. New Orleans, which is, they've had to cut $111 million just to get under the cap. They couldn't take on his $19 million salary, and they've re-signed Jameis Winston. He said the Raiders, the Raiders have traded three offensive linemen, starters, and they cut and then re-signed Richie Incognito's coming off that. I don't think that's going to be an upgrade on the offensive line. Then you look at the Dallas Cowboys. You knew they were eventually going to find a way to keep Dak Prescott. And then they bring up Chicago. And if you put Russell Wilson on Chicago with three first-round picks, Kyle Fuller, who ends up getting cut, and Akeem Hicks, who they were thinking might have to be cut or traded, they were shopping him around, then all of a sudden it's like you're giving them the chance to be at the bottom of the draft because they'll be a Super Bowl contender and the Seahawks wouldn't be. So again, none of it made any sense, but so much of this, particularly with the publicity nationwide, comes from Mark Rogers and the fact that Russell has a publicist that is tied into some of the announcers.
Interesting, to say the least. So how does the story, if that all is what's going on here and he never was going to get traded, is there any, I don't want to call it anger, but any hard feelings in Seattle about the way the story has gone so public so quickly?
Yeah, fans are upset. I'm sure management's upset because, again, it just put the team in a bad light and made it look like this was a bad situation. When in many ways, the bad situation is more the baseball agent than it is anything else. So, because, and then, of course, you have the fans upset with Russell because he wouldn't I mean, they could restructure his contract to free up cap room, but then the problem with that is that it would make it even tougher if he wanted to be traded the next 2 years, because he got 2 years left in the contract. So, yeah, it's just a ridiculous story that was never – you know, it's like when you know the result and the story keeps staying, it's like that's not a good thing.
John Clayton joining us here on Pushing the Odds. You've seen the game for a long time, and you've seen free agency for a long time. This was a very unique offseason with the cap dropping and not having as many teams having open cap space or cap space to sign players. What do you make of what Bill Belichick has done with his spending spree, really going against what he normally would do in the offseason?
Yeah, I'm stunned. I mean, the fact that he's spent over $225 million in contracts, stunning. And, you know, at least I give him credit for two things. I mean, he fixed an area that he neglected, two areas he neglected for 2 years, one with Tom Brady there and one with Cam Newton. I mean, he gets two $12.5 million tight ends, and now that position is solid because you go back to the Aaron Hernandez days along with Rob Gronkowski. Then you come back and you look at the, at adding wide receiver Nelson Aguilar and then getting Kendrick Bourne. You know, I think that was good, and it fixes the problems, the fact that I think he's gone almost, 13, 14 years without successfully drafting a wide receiver. although I guess you could say that Julian Edelman as a seventh rounder was a great choice. But other than that, I mean, he's been pretty bad at drafting wide receivers. Matthew Judon's a great addition for the defense. And so, you know, here was a team last year that, basically had, I think it was Cam Newton and Adrian Phillips being the, safety who went to the Pro Bowl as a special teams player. Those were the only two Pro Bowl players that they had on the roster. Now they've come back, and now they're starting to load up on Pro Bowlers, which is a good thing. Now the big question is, can Cam Newton play better than he did last year?
Yeah, and I think he could. I mean, with camp and with Holton weapons now, he really didn't have any weapons really to speak of. I like what I'm a Patriot fan, full disclosure. So I like what they have done. I'd be curious. Historically speaking, John, this hasn't really worked though, right? When you go out and spend this much in free agency, normally you're not winning Lombardi trophies because of it.
No, you're right. I mean, that's nobody can buy a Lombardi trophy. It's just a fact. But again, I mean, you have a better base because you can see that he was trying to set this up for more than a year. Because he didn't blink with eight players opting out,
right.
And now what it comes back is that half those guys are already gone. They've already cut them. I know Patrick Chung just retired today, but they get Hightower back, and then they cleared up a lot of cap room where they're sitting there at the beginning of free agency as like the third or fourth team as far as the most money to spend in free agency. So he spent it, but the question is going to be, are they going to be good enough a quarterback to be able to go to the Super Bowl or at least win the division? Because right now, say what you want, I mean, Josh Allen has a big gap right now on Cam Newton.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. John, the Deshaun Watson story has had a bunch of really twists and turns to it, from him saying he wanted to be traded, meeting with new coach David Culley saying, to his face, I want to be traded. And now we're looking at potentially 12 different women coming forward, accusing him of sexual misconduct, inappropriate behavior, whatever it might be. These are all civil lawsuits, not criminal lawsuits or criminal charges yet. It sounds like the police may get involved. What's your read here on Deshaun Watson? And does this story prevent him, if a trade was going to happen, does it prevent it from happening now?
Yeah, I would have to think so, because again, if you're going to be giving up the resources to get a Deshaun Watson, I mean, you've got to know the results if he's going to be able to play a good portion of the season, because you don't know what the league's going to do. They're investigating, the police are investigating and may put up a grand jury. And, it's not like these cases move very quickly. So I think what this does, it puts him in a position where he'll hold out until the start of the regular season and then have to make a decision. Where is he? Does he play or not play? Is he suspended or not suspended? So I think because Nick Caserio, I think, was going to take the position that it's like, hey, we've got to make sure that we don't honor this, because if you do, as bad as they're going to be this year, because they're going to be horrible, it's like any good player on that team can come in and says, hey, you did it for Deshaun, why don't you do it for me?
Yeah. Could you see him be traded before the trade deadline? Is this still a possibility, or is now, do you just think there's just no way that the Texans would be able to get would a team, I guess the question is, would a team still invest heavy resources even with this hanging over Watson's head?
It depends on David Tepper in Carolina, because I think he's the guy that has the most interest in picking up Deshaun, and he'll pay the biggest price to get him. But the problem is, you know, can you? You're not going to know any results of the case, by next month. It's just too short of a time. So I think what it does, it just puts everything on hold. But and also, it probably lowers his value, because again, it's like you just don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. John Clayton joining us here, pushing the odds. What do you make of what the Raiders have done with John Gruden? There's, you know, a lot of people here in Vegas are starting to say that this is going to be a really important season. He has a long-time contract, a great relationship with the owner, clearly, and him and Mike Mayock are seeing eye-to-eye on a lot of things. But you mentioned the offensive line cuts that they have made. They've got a great tight end, good running back. Defense was horrific last year. They're trying to improve it. But what do you make of this tenure with the Raiders so far with Gruden?
I'm just baffled by this year. I mean, you know, you look and you see they pretty much have let go most of the high-paid $10-plus million free agents from 2019. Then you've got the problems with the offensive line, because he's traded three starting offensive linemen, and they're going to go with the young guys. And then they come back and they put a two-year, $11 million deal on a good running back in Kenyon Drake when they have Josh Jacob. And, of course, it's like, okay, they have cap issues, but it's like, you just paid $11 million, $5.5 million a year for a backup? Because, again, Josh is going to start. So I'm just kind of back. And, of course, you look, they drafted poorly on defense the last couple years. They've got to fix the defense, and yet you put another resource on the offense. I mean, to me, it's just baffling, and you know, I think they're moving more backwards than forwards.
Hmm. Last question, John. The New York Giants have signed Kenny Galladay to a pretty big deal. Wide receivers have had a tough time finding big contracts, but it feels like the reaction from NFL folks around the league is like, what are you doing? How do you feel about the Giants acquiring Galladay?
Yeah, I mean, again, they matched pretty close to what he wanted, because he wanted 18.5. But you look at the rest of the wide receivers and what happened to them. I mean, Curtis Samuel ends up going to Washington for $12.125 million. That was the next highest number, and that's below what Hunter Henry got in New England, and also Janu Smith. And so it's like, then you've got Juju Smith-Schuster taking a one-year $8 million deal. You've got Will Fuller taking a one-year $10 million deal. And, you know, T.Y. Hilton hasn't had anything yet. So somehow, some way, they were able to pay Leonard Williams. They paid big time on Galladay. And so, I think it's a good move, because I think he was the best receiver. But again, the market didn't justify anything too much above $13 or $14 million.
It's really going to be a crazy time. John, great stuff. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate you coming on.
Okay, thanks.
That's John Clayton at John Clayton NFL, to follow him on Twitter, host and writer for ESPN, for 710 ESPN Seattle here on Pushing the Odds. Good stuff with him. We are underway with Oklahoma and Gonzaga, the Oklahoma Sooners, the giant killers themselves. It's 19-16, Oklahoma leading by three, 13-24 to play in the first half. We'll watch that closely for you, obviously. Busy day on a Monday. We're pushing the odds.